study in quite a while. I don't remember the last one we did, actually. We're going to remedy that today and look at a character study. One of the kings of Judah, King Uzziah. He was one of the better kings. Most of the kings of Judah were not very faithful. None of the kings in Israel were. And in Judah, the majority were unfaithful. But Uzziah was a good one with a problem. He was a good king that had a weakness. He had a flaw. And we want to look at and see what we can learn about that and try to just make some applications along the way. All of chapter 26 is basically about King Uzziah. But a lot of the divided kingdoms, sometimes those kings, we lose track of them because some of them only have two or three verses. But with King Uzziah, we have an entire chapter dedicated just to him. And we want to look and see what we can learn about him today. He was the 10th king of Judah. So that places him right smack in the middle, sort of the kings. And so let's look and see what we can about him. And all along, we'll just stop and just kind of point the gun at ourselves and see if we can put ourselves and make some applications for us. Look in verse 3. Let's kind of look and get some background from King Uzziah. Verse 3, chapter 26, he was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 52 years. So he reigned a long time. 52 years is a long, long reign. Imagine that. So he's the king of Judah for an extended period of time. Verse 4, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That's a lot to say about a man right there. Good to read that, because again, most kings in Judah were not very faithful. Uzziah, verse 4, did what was right. Here's an advantage that he had. Look in chapter 26, verse 5. He sought God. So not only is he doing things right, but as was just prayed, Lance prayed about us studying every day so that we can learn better. He sought God. He was seeking. He wanted to know things. And he had a teacher. Verse 5, he sought God in the days of Zechariah. Newer translations say, in the lifetime of Zechariah, who had an understanding in the visions of God. Now let's just, one real quick aside, just to make sure our minds are working this early in the morning. This is not the Zechariah that we think of as the minor prophet. That Zechariah was a prophet, obviously, but he prophesied after the captivity period. He was prophesying about the rebuilding of the temple. Same man, same name rather, but this is not the same guy. But there was a prophet named Zechariah. And he taught Uzziah. He taught the king. And it says in verse 5 that while he was alive, Uzziah sought the Lord. As I mentioned, Uzziah is a good man. And he's verse 4, he's doing things right. Verse 5, he is seeking and searching. But why is it that God lets us know that that only happened during the lifetime of Zechariah? Have you ever known a married couple? And you look at them and you think, that is a faithful couple. Oh, I want to be like them when I grow older. That's a faithful couple. And one of them dies. And what you find out real quick is, they weren't exactly a faithful couple. There was a very faithful part of the couple. And when he died or she died, the other one goes on a nosedive, and it's not very long before they don't have any faith at all. Have you ever seen that? Have you seen it or witnessed it? You ever seen children? You know, those are faithful kids. I want my kids to grow up and be like them. They barely get 2 seconds outside of the house. They move off and they weren't faithful. Their parents were faithful. And the kids were faithful when they didn't have much choice. They had to serve because parents forced them to, made them to. Have you ever seen that? Have we ever recognized or witnessed that? It's interesting that God tells us Uzziah was faithful while Zechariah was alive. And it seems to be the inference when Zechariah dies, well, let's just read it again. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, in the lifetime of Zechariah. Does he stop seeking when Zechariah died? Does he stop searching when his teacher no longer there to give him guidance and to be an encouragement? I guess the question is that we need to make, is our faith our own? Or are we just kind of subsisting on our parents' faith? Are we just kind of sucking the life out of our husband's faith or our wife's faith, and we're just kind of following along in the wake? Is our faith our own? Because if it's not our own, we don't really have faith to begin with. We get an idea of who he is, and we see some good qualities about him. So now let's back up and let's look at the big picture. What's going on in Judah during the days of Uzziah with the high water mark? Just to put it into one sentence. Look in verse 6. Let's look at all the successes that King Uzziah had. Verse 6. He went forth and he warred against the Philistines. Philistines have been thorns in the sight of God's people since the days of the judges. And they're still here. But he goes to war against them. And he broke down the walls of Gath and the walls of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod, and he built cities among the Philistines. He goes in, he makes war against the Philistines, and he cleans house. He dunks this one, and he takes this one, and he tears that with the walls down. And by the way, little trivia, it says that he conquered and destroyed the walls of Gath. Does that Philistine city sound familiar to you? It ought to. Somewhere in the back of your mental mind, it ought to be, I've heard of that before. Yeah, you have. Gath is the hometown of Goliath. Gath wasn't just a Philistine city. Gath was a Philistine city where giants were from. Uzziah takes them out. And he doesn't just take out those Philistine cities. The last phrase in the verse tells us he rebuilds there. He builds cities on what used to be Philistine land. It's a good time to be from Judah, huh? Look in verse 8. The Ammonites, they hear about the Philistine victories. So here's what they do. The Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah. His name spread abroad even to Egypt. Uzziah becomes well known. He becomes famous, for lack of a better phrase. His people begin to pay honor to him. In verse 8, that idea about giving gifts, it's the idea of paying tribute. They honor him by giving him things. He becomes well known all the way to Egypt. Can you picture a map of Palestine in your mind? You can picture where Jerusalem is and all the way down to Egypt. Before CNN, before the internet, Egypt knows who the king of Judah is. Look in verse 9. Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gates. At the turning of the wall, and he fortified them. He built towers in the desert and dug many cisterns. Can you picture what's going on in Judah? You've got victory after victory. You've got an expansion of territory because of those victories. You've got a king who is very famous and people pay tribute to him. Seems to be maybe so that he won't attack them. We don't want to happen to us what happened to the Philistines. So let us give you something. And then you look around Jerusalem. Hey, me and you have been alive then. And the landscape of Jerusalem, the skyline of Jerusalem begins to change. Towers are going up on the corners of the wall. And you look, you go up to the wall and you look out at the fields and in what the deserted areas. Towers are being built there and wells and cisterns. What's happening is Judah is prospering and there are improvements taking place. There are advancements taking place. Look in verse 11. Let's talk about their army just a moment. Uzziah, verse 11, had a host of fighting men. Verse 13, under the hand of them was an army, 300,000, 7,500. They made war with mighty power. Verse 14, Uzziah prepared for them throughout the host with shields, spears, helmets, coats of mail, bows, slings. What you got is a standing army, well stocked, well prepared, armed for battle. So let's just take a look at what's going on. You've got a nation prospering. You've got a nation that's kind of standing out among everybody else. Even the other nations themselves recognize they're stronger than us. We want them on our side. You've got all these improvements. Look at verse 15. I'm not exactly sure what to make of this. I have a mental image, but I don't know if it's the right mental image. Verse 15, he made in Jerusalem engines. Some newer translations say inventions. He made in Jerusalem engines, invented by cunning men to be on those towers and on the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones. They have invented new weapons for war. He built those towers and he made the wall stronger. And it says that there were cunning men, inventors, who have now got these new creation things and they're up on the wall. And now you've got these machines that are shooting arrows out. And you've got these machines, these new inventions, casting rocks and throwing stones. I have a picture of catapults in my mind. I don't know if that's what this is referring to, but there's something that other people don't have. Uzziah had some cunning inventors, and they'd come up with a better way to fight. Almost mass production of weaponry. Good time to be in Judah, isn't it? God's blessing them. They are growing. They are prospering. They have things other people don't have. Application time, isn't it? Obviously, we have to bring it up to date by several thousand years. Does that sound a lot like the United States? We have things other nations don't have. We have people in other nations looking at us and saying, I would like to be there. They have things we don't have. It's a better life over there. Inventions that others, we have things that we use on a daily basis. Other people have not even seen with their own eyes. Never held them, never touched it. We're blessed. Can we see ourselves? The point is, Uzziah's time period is our time period. A time of blessing and a time of advancements and improvements. A time when life was pretty sweet. Life is sweet to us. So we've got whatever's about to come, we've got to be able to see it can happen to us. Because we live in a very similar setting. So what have you got? You got a king doing things right. You got a king who has been taught right. You've got a king that is successful. A king with the Midas touch. Everything he does, every battle he goes into, he looks around and things are better than when he got there, when he took over. What tends to happen to me and you when everything's just kind of going along like honey? What can happen to us when life becomes so very, very sweet? Look at verse 16. When he was strong. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. Life's a bowl of cherries, right? When he was strong, his heart was lifted up. Old King James says to destruction. New translations say he acted corruptly. When his heart was strong, it was lifted up toward corruption. What we've got here is a case of self-sufficiency. And me and you can have it happen to us. Life is sweet. Things are going well. Uzziah's got the Midas touch. And everything is just falling into line. The dominoes fall like they're supposed to fall. Health is good. Money's good. Retirement's good. Everything's good. And what happens is we become strong. That's what it says. He was strong. And the next step was his heart was lifted up. This was a Bible class. I would say, give me one word that would define a lifted up heart. And before I get the question fully answered, people are going to say pride. There's the fault of this good king. All these good things that happened, all these wonderful blessings that he and his nation are enjoyed. Just like Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon looks at it and said, look what I have done. We don't have that specifically being said about Uzziah, but it's inferred. His heart is strong and he lifted himself. His heart lifted up. Look what I've done. Look what I have built. Look at this nation that I oversee. I must be pretty good. Look what he forgot in verse 5. Here's some phrases we skipped. In verse 5, I want to go back and read some verses again, but this time we're not going to stop in the middle of them. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had an understanding of the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Remember verse 6? He went forth and warred against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath and the walls of this and the walls of that and replaced them with his own cities. Well, remember how he was able to do that. He had an army of over 300,000 men, right? That's why he did that. He had an army that had spears and swords and shields and chainmail. That's why he did that, right? Verse 7. God helped him against the Philistines and the Arabians and those who dwelt in Gerubal and the Mahumans, whomever in the world they are. How did all those victories come? How did all those successes come? How did all those conquered walls come about? Because God was blessing him. It wasn't because he had a standing army. It wasn't because of new inventions that cunning men had invented. The successes of Judah, the successes of Uzziah, was because God was blessing him like crazy. And in verse 16, Uzziah has forgotten that. In verse 16, he lifts himself up. Look what I've done. Look at all these wonderful things I've got. Oh, time to point the finger at ourselves. We live in a blessed time, and me and you can kind of taste some of the fruit of that. It's a good time to be alive, isn't it? It's a good time to live in this country, isn't it? Things are going well for us. Can me and you forget? Have we ever forgotten that the things we have is because God has blessed us continually? Our homes, vehicles, retirement funds, saving accounts, very health, the things me and you have and enjoy every day, the things me and you enjoy every day and forget to even tell him thank you for. The point is, can me and you be Uzziah? Have we ever been Uzziah? Self-sufficiency. We begin to look at all this good stuff I've got. Well, that's because I worked 55 years. Well, that's because I was very spendthrifty. You know, I didn't have holes in my pockets. I saved. And look at what I've got. And if we're not careful, verse 16, we become very strong. If we're not careful, our heart will be lifted up. If we're not strong, destruction and corruption's coming. Because that's the next step from self-sufficiency. When me and you start lifting ourselves up, and we begin to look at all the wonderful things we've done and we've accomplished. So again, we now need to kind of take a self-test. I'm just going to read some things, some questions that I've got for us. Because pride is behind a lot. It'd be interesting one day to just get, think about all the sins. Think about all the sins that disappear from our life if pride is under control. So here are some questions, because pride's very, very subtle. Do you think Uzziah just woke up one day and he's done a 180? Do you think he went from verse 4, doing what was right, verse 5, seeking the Lord? Do you think he went from that in a split second to being strong in his own sight? No. That's not how it works. It's not how it worked with him. It's not how it worked with us. It's very subtle. We might not even recognize it. So let's ask him questions so that we will recognize. Here's some questions we need to know the answer to. Number one, do you and I take full credit for our gifts and our talents? The things we do, the successes that we have, the abilities that we have, from our minds to the skills to whatever. Do we take full credit for that? Question number two, do we secretly want credit for our talents and abilities? We want to receive some praise. We want people to acknowledge how good we are. Do we accept all the praise as if it's ours? Do we never give God thanks for that? Do we never deflect the praise to Him? And then question number two, do we secretly, not only are we not going to give God the credit for it, but we actually are desiring credit ourselves? We better have some answers to that. Look in verse 16. Let's look at that next part. Because here's the step. The steps are when we lose our thankfulness, when we lose appreciation and recognition that God has given me what I have, the next step is self-sufficiency. We're gonna become strong in our mind. Our heart's gonna be lifted up. And now let's keep reading. When he was strong, his heart was lifted up to corruption. He transgressed against the Lord. The next step from self-sufficiency, the next step from this pride of abilities and accomplishments, sin is at the door. So what exactly did he do? He transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Can you picture that? Can you picture the temple that Solomon built? And can you picture King Uzziah smashing through the front doors one day, walking right up to the veil? And in front of the veil is the altar of incense. And the king of Judah goes right smack to the curtain, ready to offer incense. We're going to find out in just a minute. He had the incense thing in his hand. He's got it in his hand, and it is lit, and he's ready to do it. And he's right there in front of the curtain. Now, first of all, what's the problem with that? It's good to be the king, right? Isn't that what? Didn't kings get to do whatever they want to do? What's the problem with him going in to the temple? What's the problem with the king walking up to the veil? He's from Judah. He's the king of Judah. He is from the tribe of Judah. What's the problem with him going into the temple and trying to offer incense? He's from Judah. He's not from Levi. He's not from the seed of Aaron. He is a king, not a priest. What you've got here is him violating God's authority. What you got is him doing something he doesn't have permission to do. So here's some more questions for us. That self-test we're taking, let me throw this one out. Do we get jealous of our peers? Can you maybe see King Uzziah and he's conquered the Philistines? He's gone into the enemy territory and faced them down and took them out. And he's gone here and tore down that wall. And he's gone, and then there's this temple. And I've never been behind that. I've never gone through that door. Here's other people going in. They go in every day. I've never been in there. I don't know what's going through his mind. I'm just trying to make us some applications. Are you and I jealous of things God has let others do better than us? Or given authority to do that he didn't give us to do? Are we jealous of our peers? Here's another question for us. Do we tend to compare ourselves to others? Here's a question for us. Do you and I ever kick back against our limitations? God has told each and every one of us there are things you can't do. To make it up to a present example, there are places you can't go. There are things that's not for you. Do we kick against that? Do we fight against that? Do we not like being told there's something we can't do? Thankfully, there were some very strong people that was willing to go and confront him about this. Look in verse 17. Azariah, the priest. So now a priest comes in. One who does have the authority to go behind and to enter the holy place. Azariah the priest went in after him. Uzziah's already busted through. He is in the holy place right now. Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord who were valiant men. Be thankful for those valiant men. It's not easy to go tell the king you're wrong. It's not easy to go tell the king you are not supposed to be here. You ever been in that position? Yeah, some people just very, very uncomfortable. Can you imagine how uncomfortable it would be to go to the king of Judah who has took down Philistine cities and giant cities, and you would go look him in the face and say, you're wrong? Appreciate men like this. Verse 18, they withstood Uzziah, the king, And here's what they say. It does not pertain to you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. It pertains to the priest, the son of Aaron, that have been consecrated, set apart to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary. You have trespassed. And then he goes on to say, this is not an honorable thing that you've done. Get out of here. Can you imagine those priests? And they go in chasing him, and they go in after him. And to paraphrase it, they say, what are you doing? Have you lost your mind? Get out of here. You have no right to be in here. That's what trespass means. You are someplace you don't have the right to be. Get out. This is not honorable. This was not given to you. It was given to the Levites. It was given to the seed of Aaron. And you, Uzziah, are not of the seed of Aaron. You are not from the tribe of Levi. Get out of here. Now, to a certain extent, what you've got here is you've got God extending some grace. You've got Uzziah being warned. Do you remember? I've forgotten. Time's gotten away from me. Several months ago, we looked at when David was trying to bring the ark back to Jerusalem, and he built that cart, and as we're familiar with the ark about to fall and the hand that went up to stop it. And then he died by touching it. And David kind of freaked out. And it was then, you remember, it was after the death that David went to the book and said, oh, how are we supposed to move it? This is not that situation. What we have with Uzziah is not the situation with David, where David didn't know because he didn't look. Uzziah knows. And he knows because he's got 81 priests talking to him. He's got Azariah the priest who went in with 80 other valiant ones. He's got 81 priests telling him the law. Get out of here. You're not from Levi. You don't have a right. So how does a man, verse 16, how does a man who is strong in his own sight, how is a man whose heart has been lifted up, how does such a man respond to those priests? Verse 19, Uzziah was angry. He had the censer in his hand to burn the incense. And the old King James says, while he was in his wrath, newer translation used the word yelling. While he was yelling with the priest. Now, can you picture yourself there? Can you put yourself in the temple? Can you picture the holy place? And there, here's this wad of humanity standing in front of the veil. And you've got the king holding the censer and the smoke coming up from the top because he was in the process. He's about to take it down and light it up. Can you picture the king holding the censer? And the priests come in and say, you don't have a right to do this. This is not honorable. You know better than this. You're not a Levite. You need to leave. You're trespassing. And he begins to yell. He begins to shout. We don't have any idea what he says. We can kind of have some good guesses, can't we? We have been in positions like this before. How do we respond? Here's a part of the self-test. The next question. Do you and I, are we going to ignore concern when our brethren come to us with this? Are we going to ignore rebuke from brethren who care about our souls? I'm in a place I don't need to be. I am trespassing. I am not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And you come and talk to me about that. You come encourage me about that. And I symbolically hold my censer and just jump all over you. Leave me alone. Who do you think you are? So you're Miss Perfect, huh? You're Mr. Perfect, right? And I'm doing just fine, thank you very much. How are we going to respond? We'll respond based on our heart. And in verse 16, if our heart is lifted up and strong within ourselves and pride and self-sufficiency has taken over and we have forgotten that our blessings are from God, we're not going to appreciate those brethren after us. We're not going to appreciate those 81 priests who come and say to us, you need to think about what you're doing because it's not honoring your God. How do we respond to this? What kind of heart do we have? Because it's at this time God acts. Keep reading with me. Actually, let's pick back up. Let's just read it again. Verse 19. Uzziah was angry. He had the censer in his hand to burn the incense, and while he was yelling at the priest, leprosy rose on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord and beside the incense altar. As this is happening, remember, God has extended some grace to Uzziah. He could have killed Uzziah right there on the spot. As soon as he walked in and trespassed, God had every right to punish him right then. And then the priest come in to try to talk sense into him. But it's after he responds with anger and shouts and hard-heartedness. It's as if God then gives a stamp of approval on the priest message. And as Uzziah is yelling and screaming, forehead covered with leprosy. Remember what lepers had to speak as they came close to anyone? They had to scream, unclean, unclean. What is God saying here? He's letting Uzziah know, the priests are right. You have trespassed. You, Uzziah, you are unclean. You are unholy. And he gets his attention. And I guess many would say it's an attempt to wake him up. And it does. Look in verse 20. Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests, that would have been the 80 priests, they looked on him and they saw the leprosy on his forehead, and they thrust him out from there. And himself, speaking of Uzziah, he himself quickened to get out because the Lord had smitten him. It took a bout of leprosy to wake him up. And then it says he himself ran out. I guess easy question for us on that self-test is, are me and you going to have to be here before we're going to wake up and get out of our trespasses? Is God going to have to strike us with some symbolic leprosy? Are we going to have to reach the very end of the tunnel before we will wake up and see where we are and acknowledge that our blessings is from God and always was? What's it going to take for me and you to run out of these sinful places? With Uzziah, it took a battle of leprosy. If he finally repents, he finally gets out of where he's not supposed to be. But how sad is that? One who started so well, one who was right for so long, one it says was seeking the Lord, one who God blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed and kept on blessing. And it took this before he would finally acknowledge and recognize God's always been in control. Don't make us get to that point. We're studying Him so that He doesn't become us. We want to learn from this, is what we want to do. Look in verse 21. He has repented. I consider the end of verse 20 to me, I consider that to be a case of repentance. He has about-faced. He has gotten himself out of where he didn't have a right to be. But here is the sad news. Verse 21. Uzziah the king was a leper to the day of his death. Repenting doesn't always move consequences. And I don't want you and I to have some long, ongoing consequences. He was a leper to the day of his death. Well, let's look at what that meant. He dwelt in a separate house because he was a leper. He was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was in the king's house judging the people of the land. Uzziah's still alive, but he's not the king anymore. He's not ruling the land anymore. His son ascends to the throne. His son Jotham is now the king. Uzziah is still alive, but he doesn't get to go partake in the feast days. Why not? Because he can't go to the temple, verse 21. He is cut off from the house of the Lord. A leper can't go to the temple. He spends the rest of his days separated from people he loved, from the nation he ruled so well for so long. Consequences can keep on rolling long after repenting. So what we need to do, we've got to get out of those places of trespassing before that happens, before those consequences begin to kick in. We've got to repent. And we need to do it before 81 people have to drop at our feet and beg us. And we need to do it before we get angry and have to have God teach us whose world this is. Get your songbooks out. It's a scary thought that a well-taught man who knew Scripture, a great, blessed, and respected man, allowed self-sufficiency to blind him to where all those blessings came from, and then hardened him to the point where he was doing sinful things and argued about it, yelled about it when somebody tried to show him it was wrong. We don't want to be like that. This is a character study. And there are character traits we need. There are character traits we don't need. Uzziah's given us a case of self-sufficiency, and we can be guilty of it because just like Judah in his days was blessed very well, we live in a blessed society, and we have very, very nice things. I'm guessing there are things me and you have today that if somebody had told you you were going to have these things when you were 12, 13, 14, you would have thought they were crazy. We're blessed, and we're blessed well. Make sure we never forget where they come from, and make sure we never lose our thanks and appreciation. If self-sufficiency has conquered us, some of those self-tests kind of kicked us right in the teeth. We need to repent. Like Isaiah, we need to run out from those places we don't need to be. We need to make a change. Do it while we stand and sing.